The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with the International Mastermind Association. I'm Galen Bingham, the leadership strategist, and I am back as one of the co-hosts for this morning's show. Today, we will discuss Chapter 8, Persistence, the Sustained Effort Necessary to Induce Faith, and it is also the eighth step to riches. Later in the show, we will have a conversation with entrepreneur, investor, real estate agent, and I'm going to throw in their educator, Christine McCarrans. You definitely want to be sure that you're here for that part of the show, and might be a great time to tweet and Facebook and text all of your friends to make sure that they are part of that conversation. We do want this to be a conversation, so you can dial in to 661-554-9219 and then hit 1 on your phone and you will be live with everyone here on the show, both co-hosts as well as our guests. And helping me to guide this conversation, I've got three very engaging and amazing co-hosts. And as I introduce each of them, I'm going to ask for them to share a key inspiration from this chapter of the book. And I am going to start with none other than the speaker who only requires one name, Pagin. Please share not only a little bit about yourself and your story, your amazing, amazing story, but what were some of the key ahas that you took from this particular chapter? Okay, Pagin, don't hear you there. So let's move on to Ursula. You know, this is actually just one of my favorite parts of every show. Ursula, please come on, share your story, and you've got to talk about the name of your company, which always brightens my weekend. So Ursula Odom, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Yes, Sula too, we make old new in everything that we do. And I appreciate your honoring that because it is in honor of my grandmother, who I happen to be named for, but she claimed the name Sula as in Ursula, so I am Sula too. And I love bringing your story to life. And they say as long as someone calls your name, you're still alive, and that I believe. Those people are alive in our hearts, so your story will be alive in everyone's heart as long as it's being told. Now, my aha today really is that when we look at the chapter on persistence, it occurred to me that on page 171 and It tells you about 16 symptoms of lack of persistence. I looked at that and I went, oh my goodness, if I turn those things around, they actually become great affirmations. Like, for instance, number, and in no particular order, but number 12, it says, the habit of neglecting to move on ideas or to grasp opportunity when it presents itself is one of the steps to failure. So if I turn that around and say, I will move on ideas and grasp every opportunity as it presents itself to me. And number 13 says, wishing instead of willing is a sign of a lack of persistence and lead to failure, basically. So I will turn that around and say, I will not wish for anything. I will will it. I will make it happen. And that's a totally different feel. I don't wish it. I will it. I will make it happen. The habit, number 14, the habit of compromising with poverty instead of aiming for riches. General absence of ambition to be, to do, and to own. So I will say that I will be what I want to be. I will do what it takes to do what I want or to have what I want. And I will own. I will be, I will do, and I will own. And that's just three of those things out of 16 that are listed there. So to me, that those two pages turn into riches just as just based on the way I'm looking at it. And I feel like that's the way you look at life. Things are as you perceive them. So if you're looking for failure, that's what you'll get. And if you're not, then, and if you're looking for success, that's what you'll get. And when I looked at this page, I saw keys to success. That's my aha.
Boy, that is fantastic. Boy, that's a great way at not only looking at the book and the chapter, but to your point, a great way at looking at life. There's a concept called the reticular activating system that does that very thing. So thank you so much for sharing that. And next up, let's go with Miss Ann McNeil. Ann, you are the master builder. And you are the 2019 Les Brown Motivator Award recipient. I am just so excited to have you be a part of this conversation. So, Ann, what wisdom do you have to share with us?
Well, Galen, I want to make sure all of our listeners understand we're walking through the chapter. And as a result of walking through the chapter, each week we walk through pages as we walk to the end of the chapter. And for me, my aha is on page 174. The subtitle is How to Develop Persistence. And the book says that there are four simple steps which lead to the habit of persistence. They call for no great amount of intelligence, no particular amount of education, and but little time or effort. And then it gives the necessary steps. And my aha and connection with the fear of criticism on page 171, being in the construction industry, the fear of criticism, which leads to failure, create plans and put them into action. It goes on to talk about how family and friends can impact your decisions about something you want to do. And I just want to tie these two things together because in the construction industry, many times we have family and friends, and I make it personal to myself. When I decided to go into the construction industry while early in my career over 40 years ago, I had a lot of naysayers, and most of them were very close girlfriends from church and from civic organizations. They really thought I was crazy. And because I was reading this book at the time, this chapter was like glue for me, and I stuck to page 174 on how to develop persistence. I had, number one, a definite purpose backed by a burning desire. My burning desire was the amount of money I wanted to make. I had developed a definite plan, which I was expressing in continuous action by learning the construction industry, going to classes, even at the same time I was working on a master's degree. And number three, I began to develop a mind that was closed tightly against all negative and discouraging influences, including negative suggestions of not so much relatives, but friends and acquaintances. And then number four, I had a friendly alliance with one or more persons who were encouraging me on a weekly, almost a daily basis, because during that time, in the 1980s by now, we developed a mastermind group. And that number four became critical to help keep me persistently pursuing the amount of money I wanted in the construction industry. So that was my aha, and it was really a reminder as I reread this to share today. It's just a phenomenal chapter, and really when our listeners think about whatever it is you want, if you're not persistent with it, even through many, many, many trials, tribulations, and failures, chances are we will not achieve that. So that was it for me, Galen.
Certainly, I'm so glad that you did not succumb to the fear of criticism, because you are inspiring so many people around the world. So thank you for that, and thank you for the reminder of the importance of persistence. So now I want to bring in the speaker that only requires one name. We have found Pragin. So, Pragin, please share your amazing story and introduce yourself to the audience and share the inspiration that you took from this particular chapter.
I love this chapter, and my name is Pragin. I am a feisty, fearless, focused, fun female leader, and I work with organizations and corporations who want to engage and celebrate the power of women leaders and women in business. I want them to be successful. So here it goes about persistence. I'm on page 167. This top paragraph for me was so powerful, and I'll share how it applied in my own life. Let me read this line. They are the ones who have not accepted defeat as being anything more than temporary. They are the ones whose desires are so persistently applied that defeat is finally changed into victory. And it drops down to, we see the few who take the punishment of defeat as an urge to greater effort. And it goes on. It reminded me of the moment I was a gang member in the Bronx, and I was known as the escorter, so I would escort people to get beat up. It was my first sales job, and I was good at it, but it wasn't who I chose to be in the world. I had this other part of me that was doing some really fascinating things, and I didn't even realize that I was doing them until years later, that I started reading Think and Grow Rich when I was about – I got my first copy when I was 18. But when at 17 and a half, I stood in the corner in front of Jack's candy store, I had a bandana on my head. I had a dungaree jacket with chains. I smoked lots of cigarettes. I had a snarl on my face, and you would have walked to the other side of the street. But in that moment, and I think I had just picked up Think and Grow Rich, and there was a moment in my mind where I said to myself, there has got to be another way. And I knew in that moment that there had to be another way for me. There had to be another perspective of my world. I was better than this. And at that moment, I truly had a vision in my head of a talking head, like being on TV and being talking and pontificating. I had no idea what that was. No idea what that meant. I just knew that I had to make a decision to change my world and my life. And I said goodbye to everybody. Remember, I was 17 and a half. I went home, cool, slow, but I ran down to the basement. I took 5 countries because I really felt that I had to leave the United States because the gang was going to get after me. I didn't realize I wasn't really that important. But at 17 and a half, you think that you are important. I took 5 countries, Spain, England, Germany, France, and Italy, and I had reasons for all of those. But I really wanted to go to Spain. I was afraid to make the choice. I was going to let the universe pick for me, and it did pick Spain. I went to Spain with $1,000 that I have since paid back, and all that kept going through my mind was, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this, I know I can do this. And I carried Think and Grow Rich, and I read it the whole trip. I got there. I couldn't speak the language. I just knew I was going to make it, and I eventually did. I opened 2 nursery schools, the first bilingual nursery schools. By the time I was 18, I sold them all for profit when I was 23 and returned home. But in between all of that, it was horrendous. It was hard. It was I got myself in big, terrible situations, but the inside was that I knew there was this we see the few who take the punishment to defeat as an urge to greater effort. I just knew if I kept on going, I'd be okay. And I really related to this, but what we do not see, what most of us never suspect of existing, is the silent but irresistible power which comes to the rescue of those who fight on in the face of the discouragement. We speak of this power at all. We call it persistence and let it go at that. One thing we all know, if one does not possess persistence, one does not achieve noteworthy success in any calling. That day for me, when I said I'm worth more, was and I'm going to do something with my eyes, I've seen that vision, has kept me going for the last 50 years. And I will, it inspires me. It keeps me going. When I met a speaker, Bob Frere, who had closed $1 million deal and I was struggling as a speaker, he said, yeah, I'm a 20-year-old freaking overnight sensation. That's all I needed to hold on to was 20 years. I could keep on. I can do this. I can do this. I think that's the most powerful thing about persistence is the constant saying, I can do this. I can do this. No matter what shows up to stop you, because there is this power behind it. There is this definite power that will push you if you stay persistent. And that is what makes me excited about being here today.
Boy, powerful story. I told you that Begin was the real thing. And so now you see just a little bit of what we're going to hear on the rest of this show. Thank you, Begin, for sharing that and for reminding us the importance of persistence. My name is Galen Bingham. I am a leadership and personal greatness strategist, speaker, and coach. My 30 years of developing high performers in some of the largest consumer brands on the planet has convinced me that everyone is designed to be the greatest in the world at something. And my passion is to help people find their thing so that they can get on with celebrating being the greatest in the world. And this morning, I was drawn to a single sentence on page 170. And it's the first sentence under the title, The 16 Symptoms of Lack of Persistence, and it reads, here you will find the real enemies which stand between you and noteworthy achievement. And, you know, I've read this entire book several times. I've read this chapter several times. I know that because I've got notes all over this chapter, but this time I couldn't get past that one sentence. It haunted me. And of the 16 symptoms of lack of persistence, Hill talks about talks a lot about the fear of criticism, which was one that Anne talked about just earlier. This one is at the root of a lot of the other symptoms. And the revelation that I had is that this fear is not really based on what others are saying about us. It's based on what we think others are saying about us. And Hill says on page 240, which is kind of a deeper dive of each of the fears, he says that fears are nothing more than states of mind. So we don't start projects because we think others will call us weird. We don't persist because we think others will call us crazy. We don't affirm ourselves because we think others will say that we are conceited. We don't protect our standard of excellence because we think others will find us intimidating. In reality, no one is thinking about us as much as we are. What we think is not only the key to persistence, it is, as Hill says, the key to realizing any noteworthy achievement. So that was my aha for today. And like I said, this is definitely a section of the book that is starting to read me more and more. And the more time that I spend in the book reading it, it is definitely calling my name and calling me to account. So I am really, really excited about this show. I'm excited about this conversation. We are going to go to a commercial break, but when we return, we will hear from our speaker and we will get all kinds of not only inspiration and insight about the real estate market, but check out how she has leveraged persistence to achieve her success and how she is leveraging her success and her knowledge, her specialized knowledge, to educate others. So when we return, we will have an in-depth conversation with Christine McCarrans.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
Number one
All right,
is desire.
Well, welcome back.
Napoleon Hill says that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what he calls auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds will receive everything automatically, but we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because that positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people, imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves
having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number 7 is decision, which Napoleon Hill says is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill says that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step 8 is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books, I love even the title, 3 Feet from Goals, that those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter, had better information than anybody else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody had somebody who helped them to get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thought, use the knowledge, use the inspiration of other people to help us in achieving our goals. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical. But what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spent quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of sex, of step 10, which is sex transmutation. 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting link between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of auto-suggestion and what we're feeding into our minds. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought.
You can join this conversation by dialing 661-554-9219 and then hitting 1 on your phone. But I really want to jump into this conversation. Have you ever met someone and you knew that, yeah, they were in an industry, they had a platform, they had a thing that they did, but they leveraged that thing to really educate others and really impact the world in a much grander and a broader way? That is certainly the experience and the reaction that I had when I first met our guest today, Christine McCarrans. She spotted her first real estate bargain at the age of 16, discouraged from buying it at that time by her parents. She bought that house 6 years later. Soon she learned just how little she knew about real estate and investing. And she then had more than a few investment property foreclosures and short sales, all leading her to making it a personal mission to understand market cycles. Christine is a licensed real estate agent and broker. She is licensed in the state of Massachusetts. Christine now dedicates her time to helping buyers and sellers understand and anticipate market changes stemming from around her experiences at a very young age and trying to steer them around making those same difficult and expensive, going through those difficult and expensive lessons that she went through. So with that, Christine, welcome to the show. Please tell the audience a little bit more about your story and in particular how persistence has factored into all of the success that you're having.
Thank you so much, Galen. I just want to say first, though, that I listen to the show all the time, and you have such interesting and accomplished people on this show, and I feel really special to have been invited, and I'm in awe of all of the co-hosts today. Very, very happy to be here. You know, persistence, when you think about persistence, you also have to think about when you haven't been persistent. And I've had both experiences, you know, giving up on a project or a person or any type of a scenario. And then you come back, you circle back again, and you realize that someone else has taken over and has managed to do what you didn't think was possible to do. So I guess we've all had that experience. But certainly within my real estate career, I mean, I guess I had one transaction that I had met the person, and they said, oh, you know, someday we want to sell this condo. And I said, okay. And we sort of stayed in touch. And then 5 years later, they actually did sell the condo with me. So I would have given up on them then. But I wanted to just sort of share how I sometimes trick myself into being persistent. For example, I had a goal this year that I was going to see the sunrise every day, every morning I was going to see the sunrise. And I thought, you know, how easy it would be not to do that. How easy it would be to say, oh, gosh, I got up. You know, I got home late last night. I'm not going to do it. So I said, in order to help me be persistent and meet this goal, which is sort of like something to fulfill my life and kind of make me feel like I'm grasping all that life has and enjoying nature and stuff, I started a sunrise series, which was another goal that I had for myself to be more active on Facebook. So I said, all right, I'm going to get out there every morning and I'm going to film live the sunrise so that I feel that someone is going to realize if I don't meet my goal, you know. And that may or may not be the case, but at least for me, it was a way for me to be persistent because I'm having someone to hold me accountable. And I guess that's kind of helps how Napoleon Hill ties it all together. You know, your mastermind can help you to be persistent, and how all these kind of aspects of the book weave themselves together so beautifully.
Fantastic. I love that. I love the idea about bringing people in to hold you accountable, because to your point, it's just so easy to find excuses. That bed gets awful comfortable early in the morning when you'd rather be doing anything else other than trying to deliver against your commitment to yourself. So thank you for that. Tell us just a little bit more about your background, your story, and I know we're going to bring in our co-host here shortly, but I just would love to hear a little bit about how you first got into this real estate space that you're in.
You know, it's one of those things. I've kind of always been interested in real estate, as you can tell by, you know, I'm 16 years old. I'm looking through the real estate section of the paper, and I say, you know, Dad, you know, this three-family property selling for $16,000, you know, that seems like a great price. Don't you think we could, you know, you could make that work? And my dad looking at me like, hello, you're 16 years old. Step back here, you know. And so for some reason, you know, I've been drawn to real estate, to homes, to, you know, just especially older homes for some reason. I can't seem to fall in love with newer homes. Seem to keep buying these fixer-uppers, but just so somehow that was ingrained in me. And I, even before I ever started buying and selling, you know, helping others to buy and sell real estate, I have been kind of buying fixer-uppers
and you know, kind of doing what I call the long flip, where I move in, and as I live there, you know, I kind of work on it and fix it up, and then when it's done, I look around and say, okay, nothing left to do here, and then sell that nice, comfortable home and go buy some other mess, you know. But, and then it's interesting, because before I was in real estate, I had an import-export business. And the same sort of thing, like I got it going and it was great, and I had this little shop and sold items that I had imported, and I thought, you know, okay, this is not taking up all my time anymore. It's not as fun as I thought it would be. I'm going to just get out of this and get into something else. And I ran into a friend who was like, I hadn't seen for a long time, and she said, oh, you know, of course, what are you up to, blah, blah. Oh, I just passed my real estate test, and I've been working in Boston, because we were living in about an hour north of the city at the time. She said, I got this job in Boston at a real estate company, and this was at the bottom of the market. I said, isn't this a terrible time to be doing real estate? And she said, well, I'm doing rentals. And I thought, gee. So I, you know, I went home, and I thought, I want to do that. I, you know, I always wanted to do it. I'm going to do it. I called her up, and I said, you know, would you feel like I was copying you if I did the same thing? She said, no, of course not. So I said, do you think your boss would hire me? She goes, yeah, yeah, he probably would. So anyway, long story short, that's what happened. I started doing real estate. Basically, I met with him, and he said, okay, you need to get your license. You need to get a different car, because I had a van, you know, for driving around all my materials and stuff. And I said, okay, great. So I went home, signed up for the class, traded in my car, and a week later I had done all that stuff and I was working at the place, and I love it. I really, it's, you know, sometimes you're doing something, you feel like all roads have kind of led you there, and that's how I sort of got into being a real estate agent. And then again, following the path, I had always wanted to write a fiction book. Like, you know, I read these murder mysteries, and I thought, oh, I want to write that. And so that planted sort of the book idea. Oh, I could do that. Probably a lot of people think that. And then when I actually got down to the nuts and bolts of writing, it made a lot more sense to write about something that I could actually, that I actually knew about. And so that's how the book idea was kind of born, and that's evolving into a speaking career and giving seminars. Like we have one called Real Estate Investing Is It For You, you know, where we kind of outline the different ways that people can get involved in real estate investing, because I think people have a kind of a narrow view of that. It's either flips or it's, you know, you're a landlord and that's it. But there are actually a lot of ways that you can be involved in real estate without, you know, wielding a hammer and, you know, so it's kind of shortest version.
Yeah, this is a hot topic for almost everyone. As a matter of fact, we've already got callers lined up to come in. I'm going to bring in the first caller here momentarily, but while we're bringing them in, I just want to remind everyone that you can join this conversation like our callers have already done by dialing 661-554-9219. And then hitting number one on your phone. Let's go ahead and bring in the first caller. I can't see their name, so let's go ahead and bring in the first caller. What's your question for Christine? Is that John?
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's me. Okay. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I thought I was told that there was a long line of calls before me, but I guess I'm first. Anyway, I have a question for Christine about investing in real estate. I recently sold my home that my family grew up in, and I actually did a 1031 exchange with some of the money, because it was a two-family, half of it was rental. And I'm thinking about using that money to buy an investment property. And I wanted to ask Christine her thoughts on that, as far as what I should be looking for in return, or if there's one type of investment property that's better than another. And I'd like to hear her thoughts on that.
Thanks,
okay,
John.
Christine, any quick thoughts?
Well, you know, what I would say is that it's something that I'd be happy to talk about offline. And you can also go onto my website, which is eyimbook.com, and there's some ideas there about how to, you know, compare properties and stuff like that, and also how to get in touch with me if you want to do that, and we can talk about it offline, because I want to keep us focused, as I'm sure we all do, on the Think and Grow Rich aspect of real estate investing. But congratulations on selling your house, and it's an exciting step.
Well, fantastic. Great opportunity. Definitely take her up on her offer to connect with her offline. Give her a call because she's got a lot of wisdom. And as you will see through the rest of this conversation, she loves teaching and preparing and getting people ready to take advantage of those opportunities. We've got one more caller so far. So, Shardy, please join the conversation. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Galen. My name is Shardy McDougall out of Buffalo, New York, and I just wanted to just say how awesome and how powerful this show is. This is actually my first live podcast with IMA. I'm very grateful. And one of the things that has most stuck out to me, one thing that Christine was said that I picked up when she was saying about wanting to see the sunrise and taking pictures, was being persistent, starting with even the smallest of things. And so that is definitely a nugget that I'm going to hold on to, because I believe that if I'm persistent in the smallest of things, then when I start to be persistent in larger things, I'll get larger returns. So, Christine, thank you so much. And, Babani, thank you for your awesome, awesome, inspirational story. It really blessed me. And you all have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think we've got one more caller, Chris. Welcome to the show. Chris, still out there? All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take a very quick commercial break, and we'll come back on. We'll have more conversation with Christine. We will work in more of our callers. Everyone seems to be really, really excited about this topic, this chapter, the connection to real estate, which I know is a very, very hot topic today. So listen to this very quick commercial break, and we will be right back with Christine McCarrans.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.
All right, well, welcome back, and would love to bring in my co-hosts so that we can keep this conversation going. Do we still have a caller? I don't know if Chris is back on the line, was calling in from area code. Okay, gotcha. All right. So looks like they changed their minds. Let's go to our co-hosts. Let's bring them in. So first up, Pagin, I know that this is something that you have talked about on and off the show. So what questions do you have for Christine?
So, Christine, thank you for whetting my appetite once again about real estate investing. I know that you got interested when you were younger, but that moment before you bought your first property, and certainly the challenges that occurred after you bought the property where things weren't working out so well. Can you share what made you keep on going and persistent in that when things weren't working out the way you expected? And can you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for asking. So I had this idea back from when I was 16. I thought, oh, this is it. I'm going to buy a 3-family in this specific town, only because that was the town that I had originally seen that, you know, real estate listing in, which was Lawrence. And that's a town near where I lived that had kind of a bad reputation. There was a lot of drug activity. There were a lot of, you know, it just wasn't a great place for an experienced investor to be looking. And I didn't know enough you don't know what you don't know, naturally. So I didn't know enough to ask for help. I didn't have my own real estate agent. I just approached the seller's agent. I didn't have my own attorney. I basically didn't know what to, I didn't know that I should have asked to see leases and, you know, to vet the tenants who were in there and all that stuff. And so when I went to the property after the closing, I discovered that the owner had actually moved out the only two tenants who were paying the rent and left me with two empty apartments and one apartment that had a tenant who was not paying the rent. And so, yeah, I mean, you just, it's so easy to make mistakes. It really is. And I made them all. I mean, all. So it was like, okay, crap, what now? And so, you know, struggling to try to find somebody to rent the other apartments. And it, I had bought at the height of the market. You know, when I first saw a three family in Lawrence for $16,000, that was the bottom of the market. It was really at the, you know, when it was, would have been the perfect time to buy. But by the time I actually got around to buying it, you know, it was years later. I was married. I had, you know, a whole different life, and it was the top of the market. So I ended up basically paying like $114,000 for a property that I could have got like 7 years earlier for $16,000. And the next day, it felt like the market started to drop. So I couldn't sell the property. There was nobody living there that was paying the rent. I was trying to, you know, sort of negotiate with these hostile tenants and get them out and whatever. And it just really, you know, was crappy. But luckily, you know, when you do make all these mistakes, you realize how much you don't know. And that sort of gave me hope to try again, you know, to say, okay, well, maybe the best thing to do is not to buy a property in an area where I don't really know which street is a good street and which street is a bad street, where I don't, you know, have to potentially, you know, be involved in a shooting or whatever, you know what I mean? So maybe what I should do is buy in a neighborhood where I know, you know, some people, you know, I know some neighbors, where I know something about the town itself, you know, where I have some local knowledge, and maybe I should ask for some help and get some professionals in there to sort of be looking out for my best interest and stuff. And maybe I should read some books about real estate investing. Oh, there's a thought, you know. So I just very naive going into it, and knowing that there was a lot that I could learn that would make me better at it is kind of what kept me going.
I'm so thankful that you said that, and you just saved me from feeling I had been offered an opportunity to buy a home a bunch of years ago, and I just passed on it because it was, you know, the kids, I had the small kids and all that. And it's turned out years, 25 years later, to be now a great investment. But you just said something that validated what I felt back then, and I'm so grateful that you just shared it, which was, I didn't know what I didn't know, and I was afraid to stick my head in. So thank you for sharing your story, just because it's making me feel better.
You know, 25 years ago, anything you would have bought would now be a good investment, but you would have had to hang on to it for those 25 years potentially to see that return.
Exactly, and, exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
No, there's still hope.
All right. So, Ursula, what questions did you have for Christine? I know we were talking a little bit before the show. You're a bit of a serial entrepreneur, and I know you're always looking for investments. So what questions did you have?
Oh, you have just got me pegged already. Because I've never talked about it, but one of my lifetime dreams was to have real estate investments. So, Chris, this is a wonderful conversation, and it's good talking to you again. So my question has to do with the fact that you wrote a book about real estate and having and with a focus for women. And the reason the past conversation with you and Pekin is perfect for me is that I had the opposite experience, or at least somewhat. I really wanted to invest. And the reading that I had back around the same time frame was, buy the worst house in the best neighborhood, and I was able to do that. I had a two-story garage apartment in a really prominent area. 2 years later, I sold it for twice as much as I bought it for. And then I had competing goals. I wanted to be in real estate, and I wanted to build a family. Well, back then, guys were not so into women that were into real estate as much as I wanted to be, and that didn't work. I am pleased because I have wonderful family, but that little thing is still back there, wishing that I had continued in spite of. But so I'm curious to know, how do you address that over the years and now as it relates to women doing what they want to do relative to real estate?
Ursula, thank you for sharing all that, because it's true. I think a lot of people are kind of intimidated by women landladies and women who are really successful, both financially and certainly in real estate, because it is kind of a still one of those quote-unquote male domains. And I think more in perception than in reality, because I think a lot of women are successful landladies and even successful flippers and stuff. And, you know, maybe HGTV is changing that perception a little bit. But people are the reason I wrote the book specifically geared toward women is because of that misperception, and because, you know, when you think about the sort of issues that you could run into as a property owner, you know, surly tenants, dealing with contractors, having to negotiate with a lot of different people for a lot of different things, that it can feel kind of like, ooh, you know, if you're thinking of getting into it, you say, geez, can I handle this? You know, what happens when I open the door and this 6 foot tall, big muscular guy opens the door and he says, I'm not paying my rent? You'd be like, oh shoot, now what? You know? So I've tried to, in the book, speak to those sorts of issues and how you can deal with them, and how, you know, what's a good way to deal with contractors. There's actually an excellent chapter in there that Ann McNeil helped me to craft, of how to deal with contractors and make sure that you're getting it. Because it does come down to respect more so than gender. And if you are knowledgeable, then you're going to get the respect of those people who you're working with. And then, you know, gender kind of goes out the window. And women have a lot of advantages when it comes to real estate investing. I think we're more analytical. We're good with numbers. We have, we're doing more with using our intelligence, because we know we may not be able to use brute force, you know. And that's not meant to be anything against the men at all. It's just that I think women approach these sort of things a little bit differently in general. You know, it's a huge broad generalization, but I think because we do feel we have some shortcomings, that we're going to approach these things differently. And those end up being strengths, especially in a downward market, especially when the real estate market isn't necessarily doing what we might want it to do at that moment.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Christine and Ursula. And I think we're talking about the book, Empower Your Inner Millionaire, A Woman's Guide to Financial Freedom Through Real Estate Investing by Christine McCarron. So thank you for that. And you just mentioned Ann McNeil. So Ann, the master builder, I know you to go back. What questions do you have for Christine?
Well, Chris, I like to always ask our guests, how did you come upon the book? Because I think that there are many people listening to the show and have read the book. But as Galen and I talk about the fact that it's very different, though, when you allow the book to read you. So can you share with us when you first came in contact with the book? And then I will save my other questions for later.
Sure. So I first encountered Think and Grow Rich, I don't even know, many, many, many years ago. As I imagine, everyone who's looking to improve themselves and who's done any sort of reading about any kind of sort of what you might call a self-help genre kind of book encounters Think and Grow Rich. And I read it in much the same way as I would read a murder mystery. You know, I just read it, got to the end, and said, oh, okay, great, great book, put it back on the shelf. And it wasn't until, I would say, 2.5, 3 years ago when Anne McNeil came into my life and it invited me to be part of a mastermind group that she has for speakers who use the book to improve their careers and to focus themselves. And I started to read the book in a completely different way. You know, it's like, for example, I even did this then. I even did this 3 years ago, and you read the self-confidence formula, and you read it, and it says, and I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily. And I thought, you know, I've been reading this for 30 days, and I have yet to actually concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily. It's like you're not reading this as fiction. You actually have to do it. And as you say, like once you start to do that and you start to actually take it as more of an instruction manual and less of a quote unquote book, that you start to open yourself up and then you and the book start to sort of have this conversation and you start to read the important things and allow the book to enter your thoughts and your mind and it just becomes part of who you are. And I think that's what you mean when you say that the book is reading you and telling you what you need to know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Chris.
Wow. Well, this has been an incredible conversation, and you've been listening to Christine McCarron as she talks about persistence, the 8th chapter of the book, Think and Grow Rich. You can join this conversation by dialing 661-554-9219 and then hitting 1 on your phone. We're going to take a very short commercial break, but would really encourage you to call in if you have any questions whatsoever. I'm just really impressed with the diversity of knowledge and wisdom that Christina is sharing with us. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back, and please do call in and join the conversation. I would like to bring back all of my co-hosts as we just share our ahas about this conversation with Christine. And then at the end, Christine, I would love for you to come back in and just kind of share, any key takeaways that you've had from this conversation as well. But first up, Pagin, what key ahas did you have from this conversation? I'll just share, for me, it was just really that reinforcement that it is so easy to give up. There are so many opportunities for you to succumb to fear. And if Christine had given up the first time she had a bad deal or made a bad investment, although she was 16 years old, we would not be having this conversation today. So that was my aha. Pagin, what was one of yours from this conversation?
So one of the ahas that I'm walking away with is to listen to that inner part of myself that's saying, just do it, just do it, just do it. And we just bought a condo and just renovated it for ourselves, and the process wasn't as bad as I had imagined it to be. And hearing Christine talk and hearing Christine's process. First of all, I'm going to be buying the book because I'm ready. And then the second thing is the acknowledgement of there are a lot of questions that you can ask experts for the advice. Like the first caller that called in, looking at his investments just to hear, yes, give me a call, talk to me, go to my website. And what was your website again? Christy, what was the website that you shared with us?
It's EYIM book, so empoweryourinnermillionairebook.com. And it's actually one of the things on it. Yeah, EYIM, which stands for empoweryourinnermillionairebook.com. So just EYIMbook.com. And you know what's on there that's fun that you might enjoy is there's a quiz on there that helps you see what type of investor might suit your personality, what type of real estate investing might suit your personality. So you could, like, explore some different ideas.
Well, that's what I'm walking away with, is saying, okay, the opportunity is there. Before this call, we were talking about what our own, as a masterminders, what our own goals were. And so this is a great strategy, and I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pekin.
Okay, Ursula, what were some of the things that you took from this conversation?
Well, actually, excuse me, it's a combination of something that you said as well as Chris, because in the beginning of the show, Galen, you said, nobody's thinking about you as much as you are thinking about yourself. And when I think about the fact that someone else's opinion changed the trajectory of my life in some degrees, because I had this success, but I changed course. And just listening to Chris and the fact that she stayed the course regardless of what everybody else was thinking, you know, it's a lesson certainly for a 16-year-old, and to carry that through life has to be powerful. So it's wonderful putting those two together and realizing that if it's something that you desire, you have to maintain and be persistent with that desire.
Well, fantastic, fantastic. That's so true. That is so true. Miss Ann, what key ahas did you get from this conversation? And then also in that, I'd love for you to share a little information about the annual meeting that occurs in Florida every year.
Absolutely. Chris reminded me of a different book I'm reading entitled Self-Help. And actually this morning I read something that she epitomizes in what she shared. It said, the generals, this is about persistence. And I think that if there were a picture in the dictionary, it would probably be her photo. The book said, the generals learn more from defeat than they do from the successes. Then it went on to talk about the fact that Washington lost more battles than he won, but he won in the end. And listening to Chris this morning reminded me of that, because through her trials, she just persisted. She continued to persist. And it also took me back to when I first got into construction. I bought a house. My husband and I, we bought the house next door. We bought the house across the street. But we did not persist continuously in the real estate. So what you've helped me to do today, Chris, is to go back and look at investing in real estate again. Actually, we're looking at some opportunity zones. We can have that conversation offline. We should probably do a show on opportunity zones. But I thank you so much, because you really helped me rethink how I got started, which was actually from real estate. And I think that it's an awesome, awesome conversation. And that's it for me, Galen, regarding that. And you would preface my comments, Galen, by saying short comments about the annual meeting. So somewhere I remember reading that obedience is better than sacrifice. So I'm going to be obedient and talk very briefly about one of my favorite subjects, which is the annual meeting. It's actually called our Think and Grow Rich Annual Meeting for Your Life, which covers all the areas of your life. And when you listen to the commercial of the show, it tells you the 10 areas, so I won't repeat those. But we have an awesome opportunity to be held accountable for all of our individuals, especially our mastermind groups. Every year in January, the first Saturday in January, at the Embassy Suites in Boca Raton off Yamato Road. And the details are in the show. And you can also go to Eventbrite for Think and Grow Rich Annual Accountability Meeting. That's it, Galen.
All right. Well, fantastic. You know, I am so looking forward to the meeting, the annual meeting. I have not gone to meetings past, but I have regretted it every time. Everyone that has gone has come back raving about the progress that they've made in their lives, just the accountability. And I am looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, I'm buying not only my ticket for the meeting, but my airline ticket in the next week, because I am definitely going to be there, and I hope that our listeners will be there as well. So, Christine, thank you so much for being on the show. Any final thoughts that you'd like to share? And would love for you to share again any contact information that people could use to get more insight from you, get more wisdom from you on how they can achieve their goals.
Thanks so much, Galen. A couple different things that I have reminded myself of, you all have reminded me of during the conversation. One thing that Pagin was saying about, you know, looking back now 25 years, I didn't take this opportunity. Persistence is so important in market cycles, right? You know, you buy something at the top of the market and you're like, oh man, I just made a big mistake. The market's going down. What am I going to do? And, you know, people then they sell, you know, and they just did exactly what you don't want to do in stocks or in real estate is, you know, you buy high and sell low. If you just hang in there, the market is going to cycle back around again and you're going to find success. If you just stay the course, you know, if you just are persistent and hold that property until, you know, 20 years, 25 years later, you look back and say, man, that is, this property I bought has tripled in value, even though I bought it at the top of the market. So, you know, persistence and real estate have to go hand in hand. Something that Ursula was saying is something that I completely missed in writing the book, and I have to make sure that I'm more sensitive to that, which is how, as women, the way we're perceived by others, as far as, like, you know, we're in this, you know, this idea that, you know, we're going to go out there and be, you know, land barons, you know, successful entrepreneurs who are buying and selling real estate and doing flips and stuff like that, and how we can feel a little bit, you know, uncomfortable and exposed as women doing that kind of, I need to keep that in mind when I'm working with people who are, you know, women who are interested in getting into real estate investing and how that could factor into their success or failure. And also I wanted to just say about the show, you know, people who haven't been lucky enough to be guests on the show don't know how beautifully you all have incorporated the principles of Think and Grow Rich into the success of the show, you know, that it is actually the way the co-hosts, you know, work together is a mastermind, and the way you've been doing this for, I don't know, 10 plus years, you know, the persistence and all the different ways that the Think and Grow Rich principles are actually incorporated into the success of this weekly program. It's really a joy to be a part of it. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. You have been an absolute wonderful guest, and we have enjoyed the conversation. And just again, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being a part of it and for making this show so impactful for our listeners. This is a topic that is on everyone's mind. So again, thank you so much. I want to close the show with with words from my book, Impact, a leadership Fable Companion, 200 Powerful Leadership and Personal Excellence Quotes. And this one is taken from Dale Carnegie, the author of so many classic books, but most notably How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he said, most of the important things in the world have been accomplished by people who have kept on trying when there seemed to be no hope at all. And again, that is Dale Carnegie. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for being part of our community. And until next time, be well.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.